Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, called the Twain, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here. Look at my hands, and reach your hand here, and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Oh, good. Well, look, if you have your Bible tonight, it's from John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and looking really at this last section of our Lord dealing with the Apostle Thomas. Well, we've had a real gallery of heroes, haven't we, over the last 2 Sundays. There's been Peter who denied him, there was Judas who betrayed him, and there's Thomas who doubted him. And what a group then one has in that very aspect of where we find ourselves this night. And what you find here in these words, you find now that the Lord Jesus gives then to Thomas what's known as the last blessing and the last benediction, which is found in the Gospels, that the Lord Jesus Christ came and gave. And what happens in this little text, for example, we've come to the climax of the Gospel. Really, it comes to this very point, where in verse 28, "And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.'" It has taken 20 chapters. It has taken 3.5 years. It has taken a resurrection for someone in this Gospel of John to say, "My Lord and my God." Let me ask you tonight, how many chapters have you read? How many Easters have you been through? How many times have you thought about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ And are you able to say tonight, my Lord and my God? Because when a person becomes a Christian, what happens is this, is a person comes to believe that Jesus is the great maker and creator of all things. That Jesus is the one and the true and the living God. They believe that Jesus is the great I am, the eternal one, that they believe that Jesus is the God of the Bible. He is the God of the fathers of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. He is the God of Adam. He's the God, you see, who people have known and worshipped from the beginning. But when a person becomes a Christian, it's not that they just believe in a God. It's not just that they believe in the God, but they come now to this very place. My Lord and my God. Let me ask you that tonight. Have you come then to know that about our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ? And tonight what I would like to do is simply a number of things. One, you see, because we live in a world which is filled with unbelief. And to simply confront the unbelief which can be in the hearts of many out there, but also in the hearts of many which are in the church. And then also I want you to look tonight, because this is vital. Unbelief is natural. Faith is vital. And for anyone to come and to know what it is to be joined with Christ, you need to be joined by faith, and it's by faith alone. When faith comes into your life, the blessings of Christ, they all come to you. But it may be tonight that you say to yourself, I'm a man, I'm a woman of doubt. I got doubts about God's word. I got doubts about the miracles. I got doubts about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus seems so far from me. I want to show you tonight that there's a comfort even for the doubter. And the Lord Jesus got a special interest in every doubt and every question that you have within your mind concerning him. And then thirdly, that you would come to know this, that you would know what it is to be confirmed in your faith, and that you would know the blessing of God upon your life. There are a number of beatitudes which are found in Scripture. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. But what you find here is now the last beatitude that the Lord Jesus Christ comes to give. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. And first of all, then this evening, very simply, a word now to those who are unbelieving. And actually, not only unbelieving, but I want you to look in verse 25 that you find here the Apostle Thomas says these words. He says, unless I see his hands and the print of his nails, and put my finger into the print of his nails, and put my hand into his side, listen, I will not believe. I will not believe. And what may surprise you this evening, that unbelief, you see, is not just simply found out there, but unbelief can actually be found in the church, amongst the very people of God. And actually, what you find even today, there are those who perhaps have followed for a long time, those who enjoy even the very things of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a certain devotion towards him, but at the end of the day, they don't know of the blessedness of what it is then to believe. No, it really is possible, because this character, Thomas, is one who truly did love. You find it there in John chapter 11 and in verse 16. What happens is there's the account of Lazarus, and then Thomas says these words. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us go that we may die with him. And you know, I've noticed in some times of places of worship, there are those who got a real devotion, perhaps a real love in one sense, but they don't have that saving faith. Now, don't get me wrong. Love grows out of the seedbed of faith. Once you come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, a love for him and for all that he's done, you will find in your life. But you know, as you begin to read the scriptures, what you find sometimes, there's obviously a love that this man, willing to die, he's seen something in the Lord Jesus, but he still doesn't get it. Actually, when you read about Thomas, what's really interesting is this, is, you know, there's an honesty and there is a reality. You see, for every one of you to believe tonight, there are certain things that you need to know. I mean, you can love someone, but you may not trust someone. But the more you know someone, the more then you know whether you could trust someone. And when you find now Thomas, there's that interesting statement. And please, I want this to be in some way a backhanded encouragement. You've got those words found in John chapter 14. And the Lord Jesus is going to go to that cross of Calvary, and he's going to speak now to those disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he begins to say about my Father's house, and you know the way. Thomas puts up his hand. He's been with him 3.5 years. Where are you going? No idea. How do we know the way? No idea. After all that, you're still a man, you see, who didn't see, just like the rest. And I want to show you tonight that when it comes to unbelief, unbelief can be prevalent even in those who have been with the Lord Jesus for a number of years. What happens is this, that in this account, you find now that the Lord Jesus had risen on that first day. And here in that account, in verse 19, he had come to the disciples in the upper room. And when now he had come, and so we say and read, that he said to them, peace. And you find again, he showed them his hands. Verse 20, the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. I want you to mark that down. Can you imagine what that room must have been like? The atmosphere in that room, the door was shut. We know that they were in fear. They were in hiding. They didn't have a clue what had happened. The body had gone. The women had come back. They had something to say. And now you see what happens is this, is that now Jesus comes, but Thomas is not there. And then Thomas comes. Now, I don't know about you, but wouldn't you have been able to pick up the vibes? When you left the house, everybody was scared silly. Comes back into the house, and everybody's glad and excited. We've seen him. He's been his hands and his feet. And not only that, every single one of them had seen the Lord Jesus. And there's Thomas. And Thomas is in this very place. And he says, now listen, you may come and put on this charade. You can be excited as you want. I don't know what's happened here, but I'm not going to believe unless I see the very prints itself, unless I put my finger in the nail prints of his hands, unless I see it with my eyes, unless I feel it with my finger. And you know, it's like that perhaps for you tonight. I tell you, you've heard the message from your parents and your loved ones. You've heard it from the preacher Sunday by Sunday. You have heard it, have you not, even amongst the people of God? And you've seen their lives changed, and they've testified of the fact that Jesus Christ is alive today. But you know, you're Thomas. And you say, but I won't believe. I'm not going to believe unless I see him with my own eyes. Well, I've got news for you. You find it here, don't you? In verse 24. Now, Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, We don't know who his twin was, but I say to you, every doubter is a twin of Thomas. Just like Thomas, just like him. I don't know if you've ever seen or listened to some of those experiments that what happens when you got two identical twins. And what they do is they follow their lives. And you know, sometimes they look just the same. And they act just the same. And they like just the same foods. And they think the same. And when they're apart, one's thinking about something and the other one's thinking the same thing. Well, you've got a twin tonight. And that twin is Thomas, doubting Thomas. And you're not the only one. I want to show you that, you see, because someone does not believe, that's exactly where these disciples were. Each and every one of them. That's the natural position. And don't think for a moment that these accounts in any shape or form, that these were gullible people. I don't know if you noticed this morning when we had that reading, which was taken from Mark chapter 16. This is what you read here. For example, in verse 11, Mary Magdalene comes and tells them the news that Jesus is alive, she has seen him. And in verse 11, and when they heard that he was alive and had been and seen by her, they did not believe. You find it again in verse 13. And they went, there were two of them in the country. The Lord Jesus walked with them. And they went, they told it to the rest. But they did not believe. Later, he appeared to the 11 as they sat at table. And he rebuked them for their unbelief. Now that's the very condition where people find themselves even today. And here they are filled with an unbelief. Actually, it's good to be here tonight. But I assure you, if I were to go to a certain chapel or church around this area, any one of them round, and ask tonight, is there anyone here in this place who believes that the Lord Jesus is alive? Forgive me for this next word. You'd be lucky, lucky, if someone would put their hand up, that there would be one out of 10. And so it is, we live in that very world. And that shouldn't be strange. Because what happens now is this. When they heard, you're just the same. When they heard that he was alive, they had all the objections. Someone is crazy. Someone has lost their mind. There are women being irrational. We suppose we had seen a spirit. It was something else has happened. The body is gone. Do you know that every one of these arguments is used today? In the New Testament church, in the church of Corinth, they had some new idea that Christ hadn't risen physically from the dead, but he was only rising spiritually. Have you heard that? Yes, and you hear it today. And you can go to a place of worship even now. And what happens is this, is that people have got their own arguments for not believing. The body is gone. Something else took place. It was only a spirit. It was an hallucination. There were people who were distressed. They were in grief. There was trauma. And all the rest of it. And you find it here. There are those who said, I will not believe unless I see the nail prints in his hand. I'm bringing the point up to you that if anybody thinks for one moment that because now we live in the 21st century, that's the reason why we're unbelievers. They didn't believe in the first place. They had been with the Lord for 3.5 years. These are the ones who had come and experienced the very things of Jesus Christ. They had heard his news. They had seen people changed. But it's no different today. This is not now that we don't believe because we live in a scientific age and we know now how to do logic and to add things up. They knew exactly then. They are no different. And I challenge you with that. Your belief has not anything to do with the logic or the science or the skepticism of the age in which we live, but of the very hearts of which we have, your heart is filled with unbelief. And this is what John says in verse 30, that these things, and Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. And this evening, I can assure you, your twin brother Thomas, your unbelieving attitude and thought, no matter how many testimonies, no matter what people preach, no matter what changes you see, I will not believe. This is written that you may believe. And it challenges them there. But then there's something else I want to bring out to you, and it's this. And it's these words now, not Thomas's words, I will not believe, but these words in verse 27 of our Lord and Saviour, when he comes to Thomas and says, do not be unbelieving, but believing. And there is this wonderful ministry of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, what happens here is this, is that on verse 24, he comes to them, in verse 26, and after the 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Second thing this evening, I want you to note, the comforting work of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are unbelieving. Now remember what Thomas says, not that he would not believe, but unless he would see him, unless he could feel him, it was only then. And you know, the Lord Jesus Christ knows your heart even tonight. And the Lord Jesus Christ has a special interest in you. Now, faith is a wonderful thing. When you come to believe in him and the assurance and the peace which only he can give. But do you realize this evening that when he comes to a place like this, he's concerned with the doubts that you have. He's the one who wants to answer the questions and the perplexities that you have. You're the one that he's definitely interested in. And although that may place you far from him at times, the Lord Jesus comes now to Thomas. And what happens in verse 26, where Thomas was, in verse 27, he said to Thomas, and what he does is this, the very same words that Thomas had spoken to the disciples, the very statement he made, the Lord Jesus comes and repeats. Reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here, put it into my side, do not be unbelieving, but believing. Now that is another revelation of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Because although tonight you may not see him, as those little captions put in some homes, Christ is the head of this house, the unseen guest at every meal, the silent listener to every conversation. And you know, that very word in which Jesus speaks, Thomas, is a confirmation that Jesus was hearing and listening and knowing. Although you may not see him tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, he reads your heart. He knows your doubts. He knows how you thought. He reads your questions. I'm just going to read you this for a moment. It's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it speaks of what happens in the church when a people come together. How you know what God is doing. Now here it is in these words. In verse 24, he wants people to speak. And if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or an unformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. Verse 25. And the secrets of the heart are revealed. And so falling down in his face will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever been to a place of worship and you've come in and that word has spoken to you and you felt it, just the word at that time? And I've told people many times, I am not a psychic. I am not a mind reader. But what happens is this, is that as these words are spoken, as the gospel is being preached, as your heart is being read, as Jesus Christ is speaking to you, it says that at that very moment, you begin to realize that God is in this house. That happened to Thomas. Thomas there, as the Lord Jesus Christ appears to them once again, says, here are my hands, and here's my side. And he knows that Jesus has heard. But there's something else that goes on here in these very words, because Jesus is the one who's ministering to Thomas. Now, we can't really grasp what Thomas is really saying. What he's saying is this. He's not even wanting just a sight of the Lord. He wants to see the very imprint of the very nails itself. Thomas wants to touch and to feel those very prints which are in one's hand. In one sense, I would say, at least Thomas was on one right track. Unless I see the wounds, unless I see those nail prints, and if anybody ever preaches you a Christ without blood and a Christ without wounds, I assure you, that ain't the real Jesus. At least he knew that the one which was to appear was the one who suffered, the one who's died, the one who's carried our sins. But Thomas says, unless I see it. And you know what the Lord Jesus does? He says, now look, you come, Thomas, because there's one who wants to confirm your faith, and there's one who wants you to be believing, and there's one tonight who'll answer all your questions, and there's one who'll come and answer all your objections. And if you were to say tonight, Lord, I do not believe, and there's a reason why I don't believe, and I got questions and doubts about what's been written, and questions and doubts about what's been said, you say to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, he's the one, you see, who confirms faith. He's the one who strengthens faith. He's the one who creates faith. And he says now to Thomas, he says, now look, there are no obstacles in one's way. You come, and you come with your fingers, and you come and touch you, Thomas. And I could say that to you even this night. If there was anyone here at this very moment who knows what it is that you don't know the very love of God, and you don't know the peace of God, and you don't know whether God has truly loved you, I could say to you, come tonight, see the prince in his hands, come and see the wound in his side, and from that side flows blood and water where you can be cleansed and you can then be pure. You can know that even this night. You see it. Look, there is one who wants to confirm. And with that, thirdly, what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing there, he is showing him that he's not a spirit. that he's not a ghost. He is someone now who has come, and he is the one who has taken on our flesh. He has been crucified. He is laid in the grave, and the same body is risen in our Lord and Saviour. Look, I mention this because faith is not something you and me possess naturally. Faith is something which is created in us. And the only one who can create faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he comes to you this night. And what he does in your life and your experience is that he deals with his people. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And Jesus Christ, in his great grace, even to Thomas here tonight and to every unbelieving thought, comes that you would be then confirmed in that faith. It all happens. I will not believe. And Jesus says, don't be unbelieving, but believing. Could you hear that word from the Lord Jesus tonight? Don't be unbelieving. Be believing. And when you go out into the world, even this week, and there are questions you'll have, and doubts about his goodness, and his kindness, and his ways, and his wisdom towards you, couldn't you not hear his words? Don't be unbelieving, but believe. Look at his wounds. Look at his hands. Look at his feet. Look, there's something else that he has a word of. And it's this to confirm. Now, what happens then in verse 28? Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Now, the third thing is this, which is quite remarkable, is that it's Thomas, by the way, who comes to this great confession. Of all the people who come and make the confession, my Lord, my God. That's the only time that's mentioned in John's Gospel. Now, you know the story from the beginning, but it's only now after the resurrection, and it takes the resurrection, this appearance. The other disciples, remember, they saw Jesus. They believed in the end, he's alive, but only Thomas comes and makes the great confession when he comes and hears that he listened to his conversation, knows his heart, reads his soul, comes to him. He says, my Lord and my God. But I need you to know three things. It is possible tonight to see and not believe. Remember that. It is possible to see and not believe. Blessed are those who do not see and believe. But you say, I need to see. But when you read the gospel accounts, that makes very little, does it not? On so many occasions. I'm going to give you just this verse now, which is found in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24. And it tells us in these words. And so we find it in Luke chapter 24. And in verse 36, now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But see, look in verse 37, they were terrified and afraid, supposing they'd seen a spirit, unbelieving. Why are your hearts troubled? And when he said, verse 40, he showed them his hands and his feet. And look at verse 41. Having done all this, and while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? He's standing in the midst of them, showing them hands and feet. And they still did not believe. Did you not read what happens in Matthew's gospel? When he comes and he reveals himself to the disciples on the mountain. And it says, and some doubted. And Jesus said these words, if one were to rise from the dead, you will not believe. And if anyone's here tonight saying, I need to see him with my own eyes. Well, here was a group, and they couldn't make out in seeing of what they saw, whether they saw a ghost, whether it was a spirit, whether there were some tricks which were made. I mean, when you go on, the wonderful thing is there in verse 44 of Luke chapter 24. And then he said to them these things and these words, and he opened up the scriptures to them in verse 45, and he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And they believed. I'm just saying to you, it's possible to see and not believe. Secondly, I want to put this to you. It's possible to see and believe. I mean, you find there in verse 29 what Jesus says. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. I was only reading an article this week. It was a bad article. It was an article on the Turin Shroud. And there it is, you've got a picture of you, or an image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thought a very mischievous thought within my head. I thought, well, look at the picture of Jesus and the Turin. I now believe. Oh, that's definitely clinched it. There it is. And of course, it's nonsense, as you know. But there are those, as he tells them. Here it is again. You find it in this Gospel of John. In chapter 44 and verse 48, he tells them, and Jesus said to them, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And so it is. There are those who believe because of what they've got to see. But here's the blessing. Blessed are those who believe and have not seen. Because that's the way that one really knows true faith. That's the real blessing of faith. His faith is not by sight. And the blessing of faith is this, that you come to believe in that word of God and the testimony which he has given and the promises which he's made. And you've come to know now, even without sight. And the Apostle Peter could say this, whom you've not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And when a person knows of real faith, you come, don't you? The real blessedness. You know why? Because faith is not built on our natural and fleshly senses. Faith comes from God. Faith is born of the Spirit of God. Faith's created in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, now, if you know that tonight, blessed are you. There's no greater blessing than to know that you could know him and believe and trust in him, that you say that Jesus is your Lord and he's your God, and you know that tonight. And look, there's one who wants you to go from this place believing, not disbelieving. Please, without faith, it's impossible to please him. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. All your blessings are found by coming to him. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in his name.